Chapter 7. Ruth. Early evening turned to night, but it was difficult for Ruth to tell. There was no clock on the wall. She asked Scott what time it was, and he checked his phone. Her windowless private room in the hospital was kind of a bunker. Scott stayed with her after the police left, but they didn't talk. She ate a little soup, but it made her feel queasy, probably the painkillers. She dozed on and off. For how long, she couldn't tell. It was hard to focus after her meds.
What time is it? She asked.
Only Scott hadn't heard her. His head was turned to one side on the green leather chair, and his chest was moving slowly in the rhythms of sleep. Ruth dug her fists into the bed by her sides and slowly pushed herself into an upright position. It messed up the pillows behind her, making it uncomfortable. With her right hand, she reached down to the side bars of the bed, looking for the bed control. She had remembered one of the nurses using it earlier to elevate her head for the soup, before slowly letting the bed recline so Ruth could sleep. Her fingers alone couldn't locate it, so she leaned over to see where it had gone. It felt as if someone had inserted a fishing hook into her stomach and had begun to tug on it as soon as she leaned over. No sign of the bed control, but she saw something else that struck her with biting surprise. Suspended from the bed was a bag half filled with a dark orange liquid. There were flecks of red in that bag too, as if someone had dripped a red pen into it. A line ran from the bag up and under the bed covers. She sat up straight, felt between her legs. A catheter. That was the uncomfortable feeling she had registered earlier on.
What are you doing? Lie down, you'll break your stitches, said Scott, getting to his feet.
Fine, I was just looking for the bed control, she said.
Scott lifted the corners of the covers, found the white plastic bed control, and adjusted the head of the bed so Ruth could sit up a little more comfortably. Gently, and without being told, he placed his arm under hers, held her up while he fought with the pillows, then carefully lowered her onto them.
That's better, she said.
You don't need to worry anymore. I'm here. I'm never going to leave you again, said Scott.
Forcing a smile, Ruth felt another wave of fear coming over her. She blinked, and her eyelashes spilled a tear on her cheek.
It wasn't your fault, she said.
And they held each other. She was glad to have him close, feel his arms around her. He couldn't have known anything bad was going to happen to her. Scott had proven himself to Ruth over and over again. Even when at first she'd had doubts about him. They had been dating for almost a year, a week away from their first anniversary, and Scott had booked a table at her favorite restaurant in Chinatown, a small mom-and-pop place with cheap tables and rickety chairs that did noodles and pork bao buns and not much else. They had both arrived at around 7 in their suits, straight from the office. The restaurant only had 12 tables, and the last one by the window was reserved for Scott.
You look great, he said.
He always complimented her, never failed. They looked through the menu and ordered. The meal was on Scott, he'd made that clear. Even though Ruth earned a lot more, he'd insisted. Scott fidgeted with his chopsticks and napkin.
I wanted to talk to you about something, he said.
Ruth had felt a nervous swirling sensation in her stomach at those words. Her relationship with Scott had been better than she could have imagined. He had booked a table. There was something clearly working on his mind. He was getting up the nerve to tell her it was all over. Ruth could feel it coming.
I quit my job today, he said.
You what?
Yeah, don't worry. I'm sorry, he said, and scratched his head. I'm fucking this up, aren't I?
I don't know what's going on. Have I done something or said something that you didn't like? Asked Ruth.
He seemed to stop focusing on himself, reached out both hands, and took Ruth's palms in his.
Jesus, no. No, of course not. This isn't about you. Well, it kind of is.
You're right, said Ruth nervously. You really are fucking this up.
They both smiled, laughed awkwardly.
Did I ever tell you why I became a prosecutor?
She shook her head.
I was the smartest kid in my high school year. It was only in late teens that whatever messed up growth hormone in my body that hadn't been functioning suddenly kicked into gear. Doesn't matter. What matters is I was bullied in school pretty relentlessly.
God, I'm sorry, said Ruth.
It affected me for a long time after school. That's why I moved to the city, went to college here. I just couldn't face my hometown. Look, I'm not explaining myself very well. Whenever I put a bad guy away, particularly someone who is violent, I get a little piece of me back. Does that make sense?
Ruth paused for a second, then nodded, not fully understanding.
It's like this. When you're bullied, you don't have any power. There's nothing you can do about it. When I told my parents about what was happening, my dad just said I should man up, fight back. But I never did. I couldn't.
Ruth squeezed his hands.
I got a lot out of my job. It was cathartic, you know? Like I was finally fighting back.
So why did you quit today? What's going on? Before he spoke, Scott took a breath, released Ruth's hands.
I quit because I had an interview last week at the second largest law firm in the city, and they're offering me a position as a senior litigator. It's 5 times what I make now.
Holy shit, that's amazing.
Thank you. I wouldn't have done it without you.
What do you mean?
I want the best for you. That means I need a good salary. A signing bonus will help toward a deposit for a house in the city. For us. For our family.
Scott got up from the table, stood to one side, and went down on one knee. From his jacket, he brought out a small jewelry box, popped the lid, and said,
"Will you marry me?"
Ruth said yes, right there, in front of the whole restaurant, who then broke out into spontaneous applause, a real New York moment. Scott had given up something important to him, something that really mattered, and he'd done it all for her. Ruth had no doubts anymore. This was her man. He would make sure she was taken care of, that she was safe. And Scott would never, ever leave her. She knew it that day. She knew it now, with the man in her arms, leaning over her hospital bed. She was lucky to have him. He would see her through this nightmare.
"Mind if I have a minute?"
said a voice. Scott stepped back, and Ruth saw Dr. Mosley at the door, a chart in his hands, but no smile on his face. Not this time.
"Sure, sure, everything all right?"
said Scott.
"It's fine. I just need to have a talk with Ruth about the surgery that she has undergone, if that's okay,"
said Mosley.
"Maybe we could do that in the morning?"
asked Scott.
"Do you feel up to it, Ruth?"
asked Mosley, ignoring Scott.
I don't see how it can be that bad. I'm alive, and that's all thanks to you," she said.
Mosley closed the door, giving them some privacy. He approached the bed, folded back the covers. Ruth was wearing a hospital gown. Mosley took hold of the bottom of the gown and asked if he could take a look. Ruth nodded. She watched as he methodically rolled up the gown, almost to her neck. Ruth saw a network of bandages and gauze covering her entire upper body. Mosley began to palpate her stomach, pressing on it lightly here and there and asking about pain. When he was done, he rolled the gown back down and thanked Ruth.
"You're going to be all right,"
said Mosley.
"Stitches look to be holding together nicely. Now we have some things to talk about." "Is that really necessary right now?"
asked Scott. He was protecting her, but he had no reason to be so protective, unless he already knew what the doctor was going to say.
"You know about it already, don't you?" said Ruth.
Closing his eyes and pursing his lips, Scott nodded.
"Then tell me, doctor," said Ruth.
Mosley sat down on the edge of the bed. He spoke in the way good doctors do, plainly and with genuine empathy.
"When you were brought in, your injuries were severe and life-threatening. You had multiple stab wounds to your abdomen and chest and lacerations to your thigh. We had to operate to stop the internal hemorrhaging.
Ruth nodded, unable to speak. The room seemed to darken and shrink until there was only Mosley and his voice.
There is no right way to say this, said Mosley,
his tone changing, a deeper, more resonant timbre to his voice, as if he was coating each word in honey, trying to soften the sharp edges, knowing that what he was about to say would hurt.
I'm afraid there was some damage we were not able to repair. One of the abdominal stab wounds was very deep.
Her eyelids fluttered, her mouth opened, but there were no words and no breath to give them life.
There was significant uterine damage. I'm sorry to tell you that because of this, it's unlikely, maybe even dangerous, for you to conceive and carry a child naturally through a pregnancy.
She felt Scott squeezing her hand, stroking it, then felt his lips on her fingers. She felt as if something had been taken from her, something precious that she hadn't even known she'd had, not until it was gone. A cruel robbery. Her future. She began to cry and thought she might never stop.